Welcome to Perfecting Motion, an STLE podcast series that talks with members and industry professionals about current issues and trends impacting the global tribology and lubricants community.
Hello, I'm Rebecca Linto, STLE's Executive Director. STLE's podcast this month will take a more personal approach. March is Women's History Month. This month commemorates and encourages the study, observation, and celebration of the vital role that women have played in history. It's important to highlight the many contributions of women throughout history. To honor the achievements of women in the field of tribology and lubrication, in this episode of Perfecting Motion, we will talk to two women about their experience in the industry. Let's start by having both women introduce themselves and share a little bit about their experience in the industry. Fran?
Hi, I'm Fran Lockwood. I began my career in lubrication with General Motors and then progressed to the point where I was chief technology officer for Valvoline, which is one of the major lubricant companies in the world. And currently, I've changed fields and I'm president of Solar Energy Solutions in Lexington, Kentucky.
Thank you. Mandy?
Hi there. I'm Mandy McElwain. I've been in the lubricants industry now approaching 19 years. I actually started out my career as a polymer chemist for Evonik Oil Additives, which to me will always be Romex by heart. Then I went to Croda. I was there for several years doing basically formulation development in their laboratory. I did some finished metalworking fluid sales at Hengstifer's in Mantua, New Jersey, before joining Univar, now Univar Solutions, 6 years ago, wow, time does fly, where I was an application development specialist doing technical sales for the first half of my time here. And then I moved into a sales role.
It sounds like both of you have many years into the lubrication field. So can you guys tell us what brought you interested in this field in the beginning?
Well, I went to undergraduate school actually as a chemist at Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute. And I met a physicist while we were both, I guess, trolling around late at night in the laboratory. I was working and he was professor emeritus, I believe. Paul Hartek, he had escaped or was taken, I guess, from Nazi Germany. And his advice was, when you go to graduate school, work for the best person you can find in their field. And so when I went to Penn State for my PhD, I talked to a number of professors and ended up switching to chemical engineering and working for Professor Elmer Klaus at Penn State. So that's how I got into it. He's very well known in the lubrication field.
That's actually interesting. I also went to Penn State. I was studying actually to get my PhD in synthetic organic chemistry. And after a few years, there were some funding issues that happened here and there. And while I enjoyed teaching, I really didn't think that I wanted to be teaching the entire time I was trying to get my PhD. So I actually switched to biochemistry. And that professor went on and he was looking at tenure, and honestly, I wasn't interested in moving to Texas, so I decided to start looking for jobs. So coming out with a master's degree in synthetic organic chemistry in 2005, all of the pharmaceutical companies kind of had a hiring freeze on. So I had two offers for polymer chemistry companies, which if you know anything about synthetic organic chemistry, you know that if it turns into a polymer, or you turned it black, you did something wrong. So that was about the extent of my polymer chemistry experience whenever I went to work for Evonik.
So as you progress through your careers, at least Mandy to date, what do you consider your most successful moment in the field? What's your proudest achievement?
Oh, goodness. That's a tough one. I would have to say several patent applications, specifically in the area of controlled radical polymerization while I was at Evonik. And also, I think, you know, kind of the influence and opportunities that I've had through the Philadelphia STLE. That's what really got me involved and made me know that I wanted to stay in this industry for the longer term.
Fran, do you want to talk about your proudest achievement in your field?
Sure. That's an easy question for me to answer. It's no doubt the great technical team that I built at Valvoline and all of their many accomplishments, which I believe, really contributed to propelling Valvoline to the success they have today.
What would you say your biggest obstacle is that you've had to overcome?
The biggest obstacle, I would say, is just the transition when you have children. And for me, I moved to a new city where I didn't know anyone with a six-month-old baby and three dogs. And I always figured that into a director position at Pennzoil at the time. And I figured that once I overcame that, that everything else was easy. I do think it's important to always challenge yourself and accept new challenges. And that's one reason, I guess, why I've transitioned into other areas of engineering.
I would say that my biggest obstacle has always been myself, right? You know, there's a bit of self-doubt in a lot of elements of your life, right? And it was actually my boss, Bill Zorn, who encouraged me to take the sales role. I always wanted to be in sales, but when you're technical for 15 years of your career, you wonder, will I be successful, right? So you need somebody to be your proponent and your champion. And having that mentorship or a boss who's particularly supportive has been, I think, key to my success, even in my current sales role.
That's a good point, Mandy. We were talking about mentors. I mean, I think that's important for every woman and every person actually should to have a mentor to help them along. Fran, was there anybody that was sort of in your path that helped you? I know you mentioned Paul early on.
Well, really, I'd say it was mostly Elmer Klaus and Larry Duda at Penn State. You know, they were always strong champions of mine. And I've always gotten along well with my bosses one way or the other.
So let's change sort of the flow of this from sort of personal stories to sort of what challenges you see for women in this lubrication field moving forward. Fran, do you have a thought on that?
Well, a lot of the, I guess, bigger general challenges, such as it was mostly a male-dominated field, have diminished with time. I think there's always the challenge of learning new technology. Right. So that's one of the things I would say the last 10 years I was at Valvoline, I was involved as much in electric cars and batteries, getting ready for all of that as I was in lubrication. So I do think that it is important to look at what's changing and go with that.
Mandy, what do you think?
I think, you know, again, I'll mirror what Fran mentioned. Finding people with the right technical expertise in this field has always been a challenge. You know, I'm reflecting here. I'm looking at Love Letters to Lubrication Engineers by Shirley Swartz. And she actually had in this book, she actually was talking about who will replace us back in 1991. So I think that this isn't anything that's new. Right. But in today's society, where a lot of folks, particularly my own sons, right, they think they're going to become TikTok or YouTube famous overnight. And IT is the sexy thing, right? I think just encouraging younger people earlier on, you know, getting them impressionable, they're very impressionable. So involving them at much younger ages, you know, my boys, I've tried to talk to them about fields in science and even in fields in like being a CNC machinist, for example, at a very early age. So I think that that is always going to be key. So yeah, just involving and educating younger folks earlier on what the lubrication field has to offer for them.
How do you feel organizations like STLE can help sort of get women involved or help people advance their career?
For me, my STLE career actually began at the local level, and I would just say networking and volunteering, right? I mean, I have friends now. They're not just industry professionals or colleagues. A lot of these folks are your friends. So yeah, I would just say get involved. Don't hesitate to reach out to other individuals for assistance, whether it's, again, with networking. And trust me, at the local level, we're always looking for volunteers to assist on everything from secretary or activities or other educational events at the local level.
I'll add to that. I thought the national meetings were very helpful for me, both the one with the mechanical engineers as well as the STLE annual meeting in the spring. And the reason is that you meet so many people and you can network. And I think it's also a great learning opportunity.
Fran, you brought up a question I was kind of thinking about when it comes to the annual meeting or meetings in general. How do young women break into the conversations and the research that's going on at the annual meeting or at other events? I know that's always sort of a stumbling block for some people.
Well, one of the things that I always told everyone who worked with me is that if you go to a meeting and we are paying to send you to this technical meeting, and even if you're in sales or whatever field, it's the same principle. Stand up, give your name and introduce, ask a question, and then everyone in the audience knows who you are, and then you can approach the speaker or whoever. But I also find that it's very important that people just try to walk around and introduce themselves to people they don't know at these types of affairs. And I've always done that. And I wouldn't consider myself the most outgoing person in the world, but I just learned early on that that's necessary and important to do.
Mandy, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I think that the outreach part of it, right, goes in both directions, whether you're early careerist or late careerist, connecting with other like-minded individuals is critical, right? I actually love chatting and meeting new people. So national events, as well as local and other section type of meetings are fun for me. So
where do you see women in the lubrication and engineering and tribology in the next 10 years?
I don't know. I think that I've seen just in the 19 years that I've been in the industry, it's definitely less male dominated. And there's a lot more diversity coming into the meetings as a whole. So I'll have to divert to Fran on this one because I don't have anything for that. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, I would say that I always look to the future. And of course, with electric cars, there's less lubrication, but there's still lubrication going on. And there's cooling going on, which is a somewhat related area, as well as we are going to transition into space increasingly. Although a lot of those components may not use as much lubrication, they use expensive lubrication generally, very expensive. So if we get flying cars, we'll see, but there's so many things that benefit from some type of lubrication. It may be solid lubrication, but it's still going to always be an interesting field. And you'll find when you get into forensic analysis that often lubrication specialists can play a role there because it's something somebody forgot to maintenance or do.
Sounds like I need to encourage my boys to go into engineering then.
It's a good jumping off point for just about anything. And most of my meetings today will be with bankers. I'm not having any problems.
That was going to be one of my questions is, what would you tell yourself if you had to go back in time that you should have done differently, or thinking about sort of science in a different light now that you've been through this at least 20 years of being in the industry?
I think I view careers as, you know, evolutionary, not revolutionary. And every step you take, sometimes you may look at it as a career setback, but it just opens up new doors. So I would just say keep an open mind and don't hesitate to challenge yourself, kind of go to the edge of your comfort zone and challenge yourself to new things, because you may learn a lot more about yourself in that process and to be your own personal champion.
Brandon, anything to add?
I think it's always good to look to the emerging areas, whether you're going to attack them in technology or business or some other field. You know, there's an awful lot evolving and changing. I didn't mention robotics last time, but there's just so many new things: AI, robotics, space, batteries, the energy transition, which has been enormous, that young people can get involved with and get excited about. And what many of them will find and end up in all the old traditional fields and find they're still important and they still make good careers. A lot of careers is enjoying who you work with and working around with other people, just as Mandy mentioned. So whatever you do, I think it's fun if you can do that.
It goes back to what a lot of people say, is that they didn't actually know they were going to get into the field of tribology until they were in it. And I don't think people know that's not like a career path for some people is tribology, but you know, obviously tribology is everywhere. And Mandy, did you want to add anything?
No, I was a pre-vet major, right? I came from a small town and my dad was a machinist and my mom a seamstress. So the only requirement they had was get a college education because they lost their jobs in the early 2000s. So, you know, I think that had it not been for the influence of my chemistry teacher in college, I don't even know that I would have gone the direction that I had, right? So I think it's even more important to have those influential people in your life that kind of direct you. When I learned that grad school was free, I said, sign me up. I don't have $200,000 worth of veterinary education to repay at that point. So yeah, and I've often said that people end up in the lubrication field by chance. And it would be nice to actually see folks, you know, there are some undergraduate programs now for tribology. So that's very encouraging. I think the education side has definitely also come leaps and bounds from where it was 20, 30, 40 years ago to encourage folks to enter into the lubrication field.
Brandon, do you want to add anything?
I think Mandy covered that very well. I really don't have a lot to add to that. Like I said, I think that human joint lubrication is another area which to this day is not totally solved, I would say.
Sounds like a great topic for another podcast.
Yeah, we're not getting, we're none of us are getting any younger here, right? So,
well, we haven't figured out how to regrow the cartilage surface. Yeah. It's all about surface control.
Well, I think those are all the questions that I had for both of you. Is there anything else that you felt like you wanted to cover in this that we didn't discuss? Any advice that you wanted to share to the women or listeners out there about your career or career in this industry?
I would just say network. I think we covered that, but I just reinforce that. And then, by the way, I think sales is a great field. And one of the hardest things is to find great salespeople.
No, I love it, actually. So I don't think I'm going to be looking back anytime soon, but you never know what the future may bring. And I'll just say get involved, right? Volunteer. Definitely, if you're hesitant to get involved at the national level, get involved at the local level. We have, I think, 17 active sections at this point, positioned all throughout the United States. So yeah, just get involved.
Well, thank you both for sharing your story with our listeners. And for those that are interested in learning more, STLE has released a special digital publication titled STLE Women in Tribology and Lubrication, Perspectives from Leaders in the Field. This book features interviews and insights from 10 prominent women in the industry, including one of our guests, Fran. These women have made significant contributions to the field of tribology, advancing our understanding of friction, wear, and lubrication in various contexts. This publication is available for download for free at www.stle.org/women in tribology. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Perfecting Motion, brought to you by the Society of Tribologists and Lubrication Engineers, the premier technical society serving the tribology and lubrication industry. STLE's mission is to advance the science of tribology and the practice of lubrication engineering in order to foster innovation, improve performance of equipment and products, conserve resources, and protect the environment. STLE supports its members with a variety of technical, educational, and professional development resources and programs. To learn more about STLE, please visit our website, www.stle.org.